tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And inshallah, in today's topic of discussion, we'll discuss the silent preacher, the silent muballigh. The silent preacher, what it's all about, inshallah, we are going to learn in a few moments. But before that, let's first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. If he was the silent preacher, it is that preacher. The silence of it says it all. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He narrates that when a person dies, he is aware of everything that is happening to him. When the ghassal gives ghusl to the body, he says, I beg you in the name of Allah, be gentle with my delicate body. When he is laid at his funeral bedstead, he is told to listen to what the people say about him, and the deceased can do nothing about it. He cannot move his limbs. He can hear, but he cannot respond. He can see things, but he cannot tell. Allahu Akbar. And this is our state. This silent preacher, it preaches a strong message that today it was my turn, tomorrow it will be yours. When we attend janaza, we on a daily basis we see janazas leaving, and it doesn't really bother us that tomorrow we will be in that position, in that situation, as we all like to live in a serene environment where the environment is lit up, where there is ventilation, there is air, where there is no dust, where there is no dirt, where water is not seeping through. We make sure that the ceilings are properly installed, that the roof is waterproofed. Allahu Akbar. That the floor on which we walk, it has proper flooring. It must shine so bright that you could see your image in the tiles. These are the luxuries that we surround ourselves with. But what is our final abode? Our final abode is that qabr where there is no electricity running there. There is no lamps kept there. And Allah knows how we're going to get any sort of breeze in there. And if it rains, the water will seep through. In that place, if we are greeted by the harmful creatures, and a great tabi'i, Sayyidina Mujahid rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that the first thing that will speak with a man, it will be the qabr. The grave will say, Ana baytu dood, I am the house of maggots, the house of worms. Wa baytul wahda, and I am the house of loneliness. Wa baytul ghurba, and I am the house of hostility. Wa baytu zulma, and I am the house of darkness. Hada ma a'adtu laka, this is what I have to offer you. فَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لِي, what have you brought for me? This will be the question. This will be the first discussion that we are going to have in our qabr, that the qabr will be the first one to speak to us. in this manner, that I have worms to welcome you. I have this loneliness to welcome you. I have this hostility to welcome you with. I have this dark abode to welcome you in. And this is what I have to offer you. What have you got to offer me? What have you prepared and come here? And all of this depends on our preparations for that day or for that night in which we'll be buried in our dark qabr. And we don't know if there will be scorpions, if there will be snakes crawling all over our bodies. It will all depend as to what sort of actions we have done and what sort of treatment will be given there. As the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the qabr, it can be at the same time a garden from the gardens of paradise, or it can be one of the pits from the pits of hellfire. Depends what kind of actions we have done and how we'll be treated in our qabr. It will be the same qabr that will treat us well and will cuddle us, just like how a mother embraces her child. And if our actions were not in accordance to the divine pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that same qabr will squeeze it in such a harsh manner that one shoulder will move and dislocate and move to the other side, and the shoulder on the left side will move to the right. So our actions, our own doings will determine what our situation is going to be in the qabr. And we all are dependent, despite all of that, we are still dependent on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the rahmat and the nur of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After we go into the qabr, then that's not all. Then we have munkar and nakir to deal with, the answer to their questions. And they will be coming in a very horrifying image. The eyes will be scary. The image, the persona will be scary. And in this manner, they will come tearing apart the earth. And then they will come in this state and ask us three very important questions. And everything will depend on those three questions. They will say, Man Rabbuka? Who is your Lord? Ma Dinuka? What is your religion? Ma kunta taqulu fi hadha rajul? What you used to say about this person? And if we have not given the correct answer to these questions, it will be very bad. And it will all depend to the level of our iman and our action when we are responding to those questions of munkar and nakir. If we are the ones who have believed in the oneness of Allah, who have believed in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will say, inshallah azza wa jal, that Rabbi Allah, Deen al-Islam. Yes, my Lord is Allah. My Deen is Islam. And when they will ask, what you used to say about this person, referring to Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll say, Huwa abduhu wa rasuluhu. Subhanallah, he is the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah, subhanallah. And when we say this, we'll be shown our abode in paradise. The window will open. We will see our final abode in paradise. But to those who will fail, to those who have not believed in Allah, have not believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will fail to recognize the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the narration of Bukhari, it says that they will say, La Adri, I don't know. Allahu Akbar. And then it's going to be detrimental to them. Instead of a window towards the heaven being open and they are being shown their abode in paradise, they will be shown their abode in the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are entered in paradise by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and the shafa'at of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Dear viewers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the deceased is being carried on people's shoulders, and just after the people had taken the third step, the deceased speaks, all those whom Allah Azza wa Jal wants to hear his voice, meaning whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the capability to hear his voice, they hear his voice, except the jinns and the humans. We don't get to hear their voice. The animals, they can hear. Every other creation, they can hear. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed to hear their voices, they will hear. Except the humans and the jinns. Besides the thaqalan, the two realms of humans and jinns. The dead person says, oh my brother. And this is what he says, whether we are able to hear or not, because this is said by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the deceased person, he says, oh my brothers, oh the people who are lifting my body, don't let this world deceive you as it deceived me. Don't let this world play with you as it did with me. Whatever I have earned in this world, I have left it for my heirs. On the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will take my accountability, whereas you are calling and crying for me. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Look at the silent preacher and how every janazah is a preacher. And it says these words, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the silent janazah which we can't hear, but there is this voice emanating from the same janazah that, oh my brothers, the people who are lifting my body, don't let this world deceive you as it deceived me. Don't let this world play with you as it did with me. Whatever I have earned in this world, I have left it for my heirs. On the day of judgment, Allah will take my accountability as you are calling and crying for me. Dear brothers, imagine the time when our souls will be taken out from our gentle bodies. How helpless will we be when our expensive clothes will be removed from our bodies? Somebody will give us ghusl and will be wrapped in a white shroud. How extreme, despairing moment would it be the one when our funeral would be taken to the graveyard? Allah, Allah. Alas, we spent our whole life struggling to get the luxuries of the world and the life. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi once went to the graveyard with a funeral procession, and he sat near a grave pondering. And someone asked him, why are you sitting here in seclusion all by yourself? He replied, this grave called out to me. And it said to me, why don't you ask me how I treat people who come into me? So I said to the grave, yes, do tell me. The grave said, when a person comes inside me, I tear his shroud, tear his body into pieces and eat his flesh. Are you not going to ask me what I do with his joints? I said, do tell me. The grave said, I separate his hands from his wrist, knees from the calves, and calves from feet. Having said this, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi began to cry. When he stopped crying, he said, my dear brothers, we are to live in this world for a short period. Those who hold high status in this world, despite committing sins, will be disgraced in the hereafter. Those who are envied in this world because of their wealth will be hated in the hereafter due to their deeds. The one who is young will grow old, and the one who is alive will die. This world will deceive you as you are aware that it will soon depart. Where are those individuals who recited the Holy Quran? Where are those who went to the house of Allah to perform Hajj? Where are those who fasted in the month of Ramadan? What did the earth do with their bodies? What did the insects of the grave do to their flesh? What happened to their bones and joints? I swear by Allah, in the world, they would sleep on soft beds. But now they are on their, in their narrow graves, in their, you know, suffocating grave, claustrophobic grave. Their wives have remarried, they have moved on. Their children are at the mercy of others and their families have distributed their inheritance among themselves. Some of them are fortunate, ones who are successful in their graves, and some are being punished. This is our matter. And this is the story of each and every silent preacher who departs from our society, from our midst. And we, after some times, after some days, we forget and we move on. Imagine if an animal were to be told that what will be its states if the animal knew that it has to die. One day, somebody told a camel, it was a herd of camels, and somebody told the camel, whispered in the camel's ear, that you are going to die. And from that time, it stopped eating. It became weak and feeble, and its body, its flesh had melted away. And upon careful consideration, it was found out that from the time it was told that it has to die, nothing interested him. Allahu Akbar. And us who carry the janazah every day, and we are putting on more and more weight, despite seeing the janazahs leaving, despite knowing, despite reading the Quranic verses, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, despite being told and seeing with our own eyes the janazahs leaving left, right and center, we still, it doesn't bother us, it doesn't change our state and make us better people. Then what will? Allahu Akbar. Today, at the time of death of our fathers, of our sons, brothers, we close their eyes, bathe them, wrap them in a shroud, carry the body on our shoulders. We go along with the funeral procession and bury them in the grave. Remember that all this will soon be happening to us. Would that I were away, which of my cheeks would rot first in the grave? Having said this, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wept so bitterly that he passed out. He, rahimahullah, departed from this world a week later. Allahu Akbar. Allama Muhammad ibn Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala writes in his Ihya Ulumuddin that at the time of his death, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was reciting in this ayah of the Holy Quran. The translation is that this abode of the hereafter, we make it for those who do not wish arrogance in the land, no turmoil. And the hereafter is only for the pious. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom and understanding. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, we have a beautiful kalam, and this is regarding the naat of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a deep yearning of beholding the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the title of this naat is Mere tum khab mein aao, mere ghar roshni hogi. Inshallah azza wa jal, let's listen to the kalam and we'll be back shortly after listening to the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, karam kijiye. Ya Habiballah, karam kijiye.
Teri jab ke did hogi, jab le
mere tum khwab
روشنی ہوگی میری قسمت جزا جا عنایت یہ بڑی ہوگی
مدینے مجھ کو آنا ہے غم فرقت مٹانا ہے خزانے میں تمہارے کیا کمی پیارے نبی ہوگی
میرے تم خواب میں آؤ میرے گھر روشنی ہوگی میری قسمت جزا جاؤ عنایت یہ
تسلی رکھ اے دیوانے تیری بھی حاضری ہوگی تسلی رکھ اے دیوانے تیری بھی حاضری ہوگی
میرے
شاہ قدموں میں آنے کا
ہمیں بھی اذن مل جائے شاہ قدموں میں آنے کا
نہ جانے کب مدینے میں ہماری حاضری ہوگی نہ جانے کب مدینے میں ہماری حاضری ہوگی
میرے تم خواب میں آؤ میرے گھر روشنی ہوگی میری قسمت جزا جاؤ عنایت یہ
غم کے مارو تم پکارو یا رسول اللہ
تڑپ کر غم کے مارو تم پکارو یا رسول اللہ
مصیبت دیکھنا دم میں ٹلی ہوگی تمہاری ہر مصیبت دیکھنا دم میں ٹلی ہوگی چمکاتے ہوئے آئے
اگر وہ چاند سے چہرے کو چمکاتے ہوئے آئے
غموں کی شام بھی صبح ہے بہارا بن گئی ہوگی شام بھی صبح ہے بہارا بن گئی ہوگی
میرے تم خواب میں آؤ میرے گھر روشنی ہوگی میری قسمت جزا جاؤ عنایت یہ بڑی ہوگی
دکھا دینا مجھے کلمہ پڑھا دینا
مجھے جلوہ دکھا دینا مجھے کلمہ پڑھا دینا
اجل جس وقت سر پر گیا نبی میرے اجل جس وقت سر پر یا نبی میرے کھڑی ہوگی
میرے تم خواب میں آؤ میرے گھر روشنی ہوگی میری قسمت جزا جاؤ عنایت یہ بڑی
میرے مرقد میں جب عطار وہ تشریف لائیں گے
میرے مرقد میں جب عطار وہ تشریف لائیں گے
لبوں پر نعت شاہ دم سجی ہوگی لبوں پر نعت شاہ انبیاء اس دم سجی ہوگی
میرے تم خواب میں آؤ میرے گھر روشنی ہوگی میری قسمت جزا جا عنایت یہ بڑی ہوگی یا رسول اللہ کرم کیجیے یا حبیب اللہ کرم کیجیے یا رسول اللہ کرم کیجیے یا حبیب اللہ کرم کیجیے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویورز. سبحان اللہ, وی ور لسننگ ٹو دس میلوڈیس کلام, میرے تم خواب میں آؤ میرے گھر روشنی ہوگی, بائی آور برادر حسنین عطاری حفظہ اللہ. اینڈ ناؤ ریفرٹنگ بیک ٹو آور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن, دیٹ از دا سائلنٹ پریچر. ڈیئر ویورز, وی ور discussing this this fact, this bitter pill that we all have to swallow one day. And each janaza that passes by, we cannot emphasize enough how much it says without uttering a single word. Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers, the heart trembling incident of Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is a great lesson for the wise, that he was having a conversation with the grave and he cried so much, he cried vigorously until he passed out. And a week later, his soul left his body. And we should take a lesson, derive a lesson from these incidents. Huddatul Islam, Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he states in Ihya Ulumuddin that at the time of death, the Khalifa Abdul Malik Marwan, he was asked, how do you feel? And he replied, I feel just like Allah Azza wa Jal says in the glorious Quran in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 94, the translation from Kansuliman. And indeed, you have now come to us alone as we had created you at first, and you have left behind you all the wealth and riches we had bestowed upon you. Hujjatul Islam, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he writes that at the time of death, Khalifa Harun Rashid rahimahullah ta'ala, a well-known ruler in Islamic kingdom, he looked at his shroud in despair and recited this verse of the Holy Quran. The translation from Kansuliman, my wealth did not benefit me at all. All my power has vanished. Allah, but in fact, we have to face a tough trial as a result of coming into this world. The aim of our life in this world was something else, but perhaps we have misunderstood it. Yes, our lifestyle indicates as if we would never die. Remember, we would not stay in this world forever. The aim of our life in this world is not to earn worldly wealth and gain worldly qualifications or succeed in this world only. It is stated in the glorious Quran, the translation from Kansuliman. So do you think that we have created you needlessly and that you do not have to return to us? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has created us humans to worship Him. If a person does not succeed in achieving this aim of life and was presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal with heaps of sins on the day of judgment, even his huge worldly wealth will not be able to save him from the wrath of his creator, Azza wa Jal. The worldly knowledge and degrees, factories, weapons, high positions, ministries, worldly status, fame, strength, worldly dignity will not help anyone attain a dignified rank in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who mudsling each other in the oblivion of power, those who cause these acts of disruptions, destructions, those who violate the rights of Muslims, there is a matter of concern to all of them. If Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam become displeased with anyone because of his sins, causing the loss of his faith, he will face such extreme difficulties that will never end. Allah Azza wa Jal states in Surah Humazah, the translation from Kansuliman, ruin is for every open slanderer, backbiter, who accumulated wealth and hoarded it, counting. Does he think that his wealth will prolong his stay on earth forever? Never. He will certainly be thrown into the crushing one. And what have you understood what the crushing one is? The fire of Allah, that is a blaze, which will climb onto the hearts. Indeed, it will be shut over them in extended columns. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, we made many claims, and it is easy to say things, to make claims, but it is hard to substantiate them. Yes, it is easy to say we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but how many of us do we fulfill the requirement of this love if we do not follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah, if we do not follow the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we do not accept the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then do we truly love him? We should really introspect. Sayyidina Shafiq Balkhi rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates that people make four claims about their deeds which are contrary to their claims. They say that they are the humble servants of Allah, but their deeds indicate as if they are free. Allahu Akbar. They portray themselves as to be very humble people, and they say it with their tongue, but in reality, when they are dealing in day-to-day matters, you see how arrogant they become. Allahu Akbar. They have no care, but they claim to be the humble servants of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us the humble servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we hear something, we say amanna. We say sami'na wa ata'na. This should be our attitude if we are truly the humble servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing he says, people make false claims. They say that Allah azza wa jal provides them with sustenance, but they are not satisfied even after accumulating a lot of wealth. Look at the difference in what they say and how they carry on. Two different things. And this doesn't befit us, right? Because our words should match and must match our action. And that is the characteristic of a dignified person, that his word should match his actions, his character. And here some say that Allah Azza wa Jal provides me with sustenance, but despite making this claim, we are not satisfied after accumulating a lot of wealth, and we are still pursuing, running in the pursuit of more and more wealth as if it wasn't enough. The third is, they say that the hereafter is better than the world, but they strive for the betterment of the world only. That is a tough one. And we see it in our day-to-day life, that how there are claimants who claim that the hereafter is better than the world. What is this world? It's nothing. We must work for the hereafter, and so on and so forth. But if you truly look at their lifestyle, they are busy hoarding and accumulating this world to the extent that all their effort is kept running for running after the luxuries and the desires that they are pursuing in the world. But the claim is that the hereafter is better than the world. And the fourth nasiha he gives, where he says, the people claim something, but the actions say otherwise. And these are false claims. They say that they have to die one day, but their lifestyle indicates as though they will never die. Yes, they keep on saying that they will have to die one day I'll die. But they live in their life in such a manner which indicates as though they are here to stay forever. Allahu Akbar. These are the harsh truths, the harsh facts, true facts. We may not be able to really stomach it, but this is the reality. Without doubt, every Muslim believes that he is the humble servant of Allah. And obviously, a humble servant is bound by divine commands. But these days, most of us Muslims are engrossed in such tasks that clearly indicate as if we are free. The one who is a servant will do what his master commands. Indeed, we are the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we eat sustenance provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sadly, our deeds are not like sincere servants. Allah Azza wa Jal commands us to offer salah, but we are lazy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to fast in the month of Ramadan, but we do not. Similarly, there is extreme heedlessness on our part in carrying out other commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second claim in which people falsely claim, and these claims are not really true, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with sustenance. And how we claim that Allah azza wa jal provides us with sustenance. And this is the truth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does provide us with sustenance. Besides Allah, who is there who can provide us? Allah is the true provider. But some people's way of earning livelihood is quite strange. Despite believing that Allah azza wa jal is the provider of sustenance, why do people give and take interest? Why do they open factories and get houses constructed by taking loans from the bank with interest? If someone believes that Allah azza wa jal provides him with sustenance, what forces him to take bribery? What makes him sell goods fraudulently? Why has he adopted haram methods of earning sustenance? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah, Allah. So these are the bitter facts that we find it hard to swallow. But this is the truth. The third claim that people make, the hereafter is better than the world. Millions of regrets. Despite asserting that the hereafter is better than the world, most of the people are busy with making efforts for the betterment of the world and accumulating its wealth only. Everyone seems fascinated by the worldly wealth, and people's lifestyle indicates as if they would never leave this world. The fourth claim that people falsely claim this, that we will die one day. And this claim is so true that everyone will have to die one day. That we will die one day. Despite making this claim, so many of us, so many times we, you know, our lifestyles indicate as if they would never die. The lifestyles of Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala was in accordance with the claim that we will die one day. He rahmatullahi ta'ala would always remain frightened as if a death warrant has been issued for him. Allahu Akbar. Allah Allah. This death warrant has been issued to everyone in that sense. Whoever is born has to die one day. Before the soul, when the soul is blown into the body, into the fetus, even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angel to declare when this person will die. The child is not even born yet, and it is already declared when the person will die. Allahu Akbar. We all are born to die one day. Our sustenance, age, even the place of burial is decided before the birth. In order to create the body of a child in the mother's womb, the angel brings dust from where the person will be buried after his death. It is predetermined, it is predestined for us how many days we will live on this earth, what will be our sustenance, how many days we will live, and what sustenance we will earn, right? And whether we'll do good deeds or bad deeds, when we will die, the place where we will die, and the portion of the earth from whose soil our body is made, that is also determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, our belief in Islam is that he will return. And he will return because he was not executed. This is the Islamic belief, but rather he was ascended into the heavens by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then towards the end of time, he will descend and he will kill Dajjal and free the world from all the corruptions. Subhanallah. And the entire world will be at peace. Sayyidina Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam will spend time here. And after he will pass away, he will be buried in the same place where the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is buried. Subhanallah. In Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. Subhanallah, he will have the neighborhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in terms of his grave. So the ulama have mentioned that we can say for sure that the soil from which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was created was the same soil that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they were all created from one soil, subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is such a beautiful thing that Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned. So yes, we were discussing as to how a person thinks and how he claims all these things, that we will all die one day. But despite making this claim, the person lives as if he will never die. So we need to change this attitude. This death warrant has been issued to everyone in the sense, whoever is born, he will die one day. Having eaten his share of food and having spent his life, when a deceased is placed into a coffin and carried on people's shoulders towards the graveyard, he speaks, and we should all pay attention to what the deceased says. This is the silent muballigh. This is the silent preacher we have been talking about. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I swear by the one under whose omnipotence my life is. If people see a dead person's destination and listen to what he says, they would forget the deceased and become concerned about themselves. When the deceased is placed on the plank, his soul sits up and says, "Oh, my family and friends, don't let the world deceive you as it has deceived me. I collected halal and haram wealth and then left it for others. Its profit is for them and its loss is for me. Have fear about what has happened to me," meaning learn a lesson from it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Dear viewers, there are many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we have already narrated some. In one hadith, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you must excessively remember death. Why? Because it will erase the sins and it will move us away from the desire of the world. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the death is enough for nasiha, for counsel. Allah, Allah. Death is sufficient for nasiha. And then in one hadith, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, who is the most wise person? The most wise person is that individual who remembers death excessively and he prepares for the death before it comes. That person is a wise person. Subhanallah. And then he says, a person who remembers death 20 times every day, then such a person will be raised on the day of judgment among the martyrs. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You see, dear viewers, subhanallah, these are the glad tidings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In one hadith, it is mentioned, an Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qal, khatta nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wasallam khututan. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he drew some lines, and after drawing those lines, he said, هذا الإنسان وهذا أجله. This is the man and this is his death. فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ كَذَلِكْ إِذْ جَاءَهُ الْخَطُّ الْأَقْرَبُ. That he is in this situation where his death is so close and all of a sudden his death approaches him. Allahu Akbar. That is closest to him, subhanallah. That line is so close to us. We are on the verge of dying. And this is how closely the line is drawn. As the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us this visual cue as to how close death is to us. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew some lines, and then the lines look like this. There's one square line, the square box he drew. And then from there, a straight line, and then some columns he drew. And these are the long hopes. And in the square box, that is the life, and the line is the lifeline and the hopes that we have. And then this entire box where the lines are drawn, we are surrounded by death. Allahu Akbar. But we are still chasing after the long hopes. And we don't know when we are going to cross paths with the lines, with the boundaries of death. Allahu Akbar. Such is our case. We are surrounded by death. We don't know when the death will come. And it is so close. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to die in a state in which Allah azza wa jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are pleased with us. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil amin. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.